Bummed about yesterday's inflation numbers? Just wait, there's more. From Marketplace, I'm Sabri Benishore, in for David Brancaccio. So yesterday, we learned the Consumer Price Index was up 3.5% in March, higher than it was in February, which was higher than it was in January, which is not ideal. Today, we've got the Producer Price Index. That measures inflation at the wholesale level. Those prices were up just 2.1% year over year. So let's go through what that means with KPMG Chief Economist Diane Swonk. Hi, Diane.
Good morning.
So producer price inflation is at 2.1%. Isn't that where the Fed kind of wants it? What's the takeaway here?
Well, first of all, the producer price index isn't what the Fed targets because that's not what we all pay for. That's in the pipeline. And I think that's important. But more importantly is what does the producer price index tell us about what might be coming down the road in terms of inflation? And the devil in the details there is not as good as that overall number looks on paper.
Why is that? Because prices for goods, at least, fell in March. I mean, that's got to be good.
It was good news for March. What the Fed is really concerned about is that much of the low-hanging fruit on the drop in goods prices has been plucked. And they worry if that's the case, we could see a more persistent inflation in the service sector really create a floor under inflation that's much too painful and really corrosive for the overall population. We had decades-long deflation in the goods sector that helped bring inflation down as the world economy globalized and we saw cheap goods coming in from abroad. Supply chain problems showed up in that producer price index in the details, and it suggests that maybe the relief we got in March was only temporary, and in fact, the Fed's worst fears might be realized.
Diane Swonk is chief economist at the audit, tax, and advisory firm KPMG. Diane, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Republicans, Democrats, and college officials got a chance to vent yesterday about the Education Department's botched rollout of a new college financial aid form. At a House subcommittee hearing, they complained about unrelenting delays and glitches affecting college plans for millions. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer has the details.
In 2020, Congress ordered the Education Department to simplify the FAFSA. That's the free application for federal student aid that high school students fill out and send to colleges. Schools depend on it to decide how much financial aid to offer. The new FAFSA forms were due out last fall, but were delayed by a few months, and there were lots of problems with the rollout. As a result, student financial aid consultant Mark Kantrowitz told the committee,
there are 2.8 million fewer FAFSAs filed this year as compared with the same time last year, a 15% drop overall. The drop in college enrollment may be worse than during the pandemic, causing some colleges to close.
Students and parents that did complete the FAFSA found it was riddled with glitches. In some cases, colleges were sent incorrect information about their finances. Rachel Feldman, vice provost of enrollment at the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, says it's a mess.
We feel like we're flying blind without a clear path, and we have yet to release a single official aid offer, despite having released our admissions decisions.
Other schools are in the same boat, so some students will have to decide where to go to college without knowing how much financial aid they'll get. I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
Explaining big economic and money ideas to anyone is tricky, let alone to kids. Luckily, Marketplace has a podcast for that. It's called Million Bazillion, and it's back with a new season. My Marketplace colleague, Bridget Bodner, is one of the co-hosts and recently shared more about the season with another one of my colleagues, Nova Sappho.
So the premise is that you answer questions kids send in. What are some of the questions you're going to be answering this season?
Okay, we got some heavy hitters this season. So we're going to be answering, what is a union? What's a college savings account? Love that we get to answer that during the FAFSA meltdown that we have right now. And we're starting off the season with one, which is how are cars made?
And why did you pick that one for the first episode?
Oh, well, kids love to know how things are made. And cars are just a really good stand-in for like how a lot of things are made. Most stuff is kind of made the same way with an assembly line. And then we also know that the auto industry is really important to the U.S. economy. It employs a lot of people. It's worth a lot of money to our greater kind of broader economy and all that good stuff.
I'm picturing robots on assembly lines, mass production. How do you bring that to life for children?
So we do use a lot of fun sound and sound effects of this is what this would sound like. But we're also using skits and little audio metaphors. So we're talking about the tool and die stamps that are stamping these metal pieces that cars are made of. But we're also comparing it to like a giant cookie cutter, because kids maybe know a cookie cutter, even if you say tool and die and they're like, I don't know what that is.
I'm not sure I totally know what that is.
You know what? I also always knew that my grandfather was a tool and die maker in Michigan at an auto plant, and he would make the stamps that they would then use to cut out these pieces of a car.
I love that. So what do you suggest for parents who are trying to encourage their kids who have money questions?
So I would say just do your best to like encourage their curiosity. Go check out the back catalog, Million Bazillion. Maybe we've answered it. Send us a question. We can answer it in a future episode. And then also, you know, just listen to Marketplace with them and ask them, did you have any questions about that? Like, wasn't that weird when they said that thing? What do you think about that? And you know your kid and what sort of things might pique their interest. Because ultimately, if you can encourage their curiosity and their interest in money in the economy, that's just going to be really good for them later on in their lives.
Bridger Bodnar is the co-host of Million Bazillion Marketplaces podcast for kids and parents. New episodes are out every Tuesday wherever you get your podcasts or at marketplace.org. And the first episode is out now. Check it out on our website. Thanks, Bridget.
You're welcome, Nova.
Bridget was talking to Nova Sappho there. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.